This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is, wait a minute, I have to enter my password here. What is that? Well, never mind. Our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Hello, good to be with you again.
I'll figure it out.
And that's so funny. You mentioned, you know, we were joking about, you know, how many passwords we have these days, but how hard it is to remember them. Well, today we're going to be talking about cybersecurity and how to keep yourself and your parish safe from cyber attacks. And here to talk about this topic is Deacon Ron Peru. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you very much, Bridget. I'm very happy to be here.
And you serve as the chief information officer for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis's cybersecurity?
The cybersecurity isn't part of the title, but
okay,
chief
okay.
information officer, but cybersecurity has become almost a primary concern for my role there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're a deacon and you are at St. Francis and St. Clair Parish.
Right, in Greenwood, Indiana.
Okay, and then, so how long have you been a deacon, and then give us your background and how you got into cybersecurity, and then how you became a deacon too, because God called you to do that too. Giving you a lot of jobs, right?
Yeah, well, I'll start off about the deacon. I was ordained in 2012.
Okay.
So I was the second group of men that went through that were ordained a deacon. I was a practicing Catholic my whole life. One of the things that led to the diaconate was going through a Christ Renews His Parish retreat, which is now Welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I'd strongly encourage anybody who's not attended to do that. But that helped me reprioritize Jesus as being number one in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So that eventually led to a little soul searching, and I had not even heard of the diaconate. When we presented for that retreat, ran into somebody who was discerning for the diaconate at that time. It was a deacon who was ordained in 2008.
Okay.
So that led me to explore it after the retreat, because when he said he was going to be looking at being a deacon, I didn't even know what a deacon was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's really awesome. We hear so many stories about Christ Renews, and I had similar experience. And you know, and or Curcio, you know, you go to one of these retreats, and then you know, God you just are awakened, and you're like, okay, what do you want me to do, God? And there you go, right? So tell me about your background in IT. Or cybersecurity, I guess.
Sure.
Did you have background in that field as a professional prior to?
I did prior to it, but it's an interesting story because I studied electrical engineering at Purdue University.
Okay.
That's how I started, and I really got into that because I was really good at math.
Mm.
I wasn't good in electronics or things of that nature, but engineering was a very hot discipline at that time. So I studied there. My first computer class there was using what's called punch cards.
Mm-hmm.
In the old days.
Mm-hmm.
You did a program and you had cards and you ran it through a card reader. I took that class and I said, I never want to have another computer class again. 2 years later, I did have a computer class. I think it was my junior year in the language of Pascal. But when I got done, I was like, I do not want to do computers. But in my first job, about 6 months there, my manager said, I remember you had computers on your resume, and we need to convert this aluminum rolling mill from old controls that were electronic to a computer control system. And that's what got me into it. And I was panicking at that time because it's like, I don't know computers that well.
Why did I put that on my resume?
Yeah, I need to take that off of there, you know?
Well, another guy at the plant took me under his wing, helped me out, said it's going to be okay, I'll coach you. And then eventually I learned how to use the computer and write my resume and got another job that was in manufacturing. So I worked as an engineer in manufacturing for about 5 years. It led me to discover I wanted to use maybe information technology computers to help people. Led to a job search that said either education or healthcare is what I wanted to focus on, and wound up moving from South Carolina, where my wife and I were living at the time, to Indianapolis. We had family in Indiana, and that brought me back. So I was at IUPUI for about 5 years, originally started out as a programmer, then became a manager of a programmer and doing some consulting with departments. Had about 5 years there, and then one of the major projects we worked on was implementing computers in the IUPUI library.
Okay.
We had like 1,200 data drops at that time. This was in the mid-90s, right at the very start of the internet. Worked on the first ever internet site for IUPUI library, and we used Windows and Apple computers at the time. Macs were so much easier to integrate than Windows were, and I wound up going to work for Apple. Was kind of a specialist in higher education and libraries initially as an engineer. Then I transitioned into a sales role. And from there on, for about 20 plus years, I was in IT and telecommunications sales. I had been also with Nortel, Cisco, some local companies. My most recent thing was with Lightbound, which is a major data center internet provider here locally in Indianapolis. And that led me to my next phase.
There are so many areas in IT too, which is, you know, people think, well, I have a background in IT. I mean, there's so many specializations and such a huge field. I think, you know, people don't really realize how huge a field it is. We're talking with Deacon Ron Peru, and we're talking about cybersecurity. So what exactly is cybersecurity? I mean, what is that? How do you define that exactly?
Well, cybersecurity has to do with security practices that you put in place to keep your information technology infrastructure safe.
Okay, and talk. You serve in a couple different roles at the Archdiocese, and also you're on some state committee or state security, homeland security, cyber, or something like that.
Yeah, it's
what is the title?
I just served the last year. It's called the Indiana Executive Council for Cybersecurity. So the Indiana Department of Homeland Security has an Indiana cybersecurity effort, and they have volunteers from throughout the state and many disciplines that are serving on many committees.
I'm sure you learned a lot in that role too. Okay, so what are the biggest threats that people, individuals, need to be aware of? Because, you know, we're all carrying around, or many people are carrying around, smartphone devices. You know, you get, you know, Echo Dot. I mean, there's all these, you know, Alexa, all these different types of
smart devices,
your television.
Right.
You know, what do you need to do? What are the threats of how do we keep ourselves safe with the personal devices?
One thing to keep in mind is that there's a professor, William Mackey, from Indiana State University that presented at the Indiana Executive Council for Cybersecurity recently.
Mm-hmm.
And he said 72% of the cyber attacks were from human behavior. 28% were from cracking into a system. So what that says is we need to keep our systems updated and have antivirus and things of that nature. But most of the cyber crimes are going to be through human behavior and us interacting.
Such as, give me one example of that.
So like a phishing scam. So that you get an email that comes in. I just remember my dad called me last year, and he said, did you get the email from your cousin? And it was an email that says, I was on a trip over in Czechoslovakia, and I've stranded here. I lost my wallet, my phone, everything, and I need some help. Can you please send some money right away? So
they get into your like email account somehow, and then they pretend to be somebody else,
or they pretend to be somebody that you know.
Okay,
they use on a level of familiarity, and most people today look at, because of these mobile devices that we have, the smartphones, everyone's caught up in a sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
I got a text. I need to respond right away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got to respond in 30 seconds. Or it's...
I've got an email. I need to respond mm-hmm. anyway. So the cyber criminals prey on our sense of urgency and familiarity. And we need to take a step back and always kind of say, is this something that is legitimate? Do I need to somewhat verify the mm-hmm. request that has come in? And does this make sense?
And that's one of the most, well, I was going to say most recent, but there's no such thing as most recent in computers, mm-hmm. as it changes all the time. But a fairly recent scam was simply someone would call you and it would ring once and it would stop. And then what you were talking about, that sense of urgency, you'd say, oh, I wonder who that was, and call back. And you were calling, I think, a 900 number that started cranking up big charges just because you called it for no other reason that'll appear on your phone bill. But it was that urgency that you were talking about. It rang once and it hung up. I got to find out who that was and why they called me.
And the other one out there is even kind of old school that will prey on maybe some of our senior citizens and things of that nature. I've gotten recent calls from, it says, the IRS.
Oh, yes.
And it says there's a claim against you. There's going to be criminal prosecution if you don't respond within X amount of time. Please call this number now.
Yeah, my husband has worked in tax. He's a tax attorney and has worked in that field for a long time. And he told me the IRS will never call you.
Yep.
So just keep that in mind, because I was like, yeah, we got to call. Because the IRS will never call you. So that's a good tip. But what are some of the other red flags that you get from somebody? What's a red flag? Like asking for your password and asking for money? Those two things, maybe?
Those are probably the top two, password
okay.
or money. And there's even some things. There was another scam that I know some people who have had something popped up on their screen, and they said, this is Microsoft. You've had a security alert. You need to contact us right away. Click here to begin the scanning so we can protect your computer.
And how do you know if it's, because I've had that pop up all the time. Like, your security, your firewall has expired, and that might actually be true, but it might be fake. How
right.
do you tell the difference? Because it looks legitimate.
Yeah. Well, the one thing to always do is to just stop and think. And for the most part, if something like that does happen, I usually recommend people to shut things down and restart their computer
okay.
to kind of level set it. If it does come up multiple times, it could be you do need to renew your software and things of that nature and double check. But
now, sometimes that very screen you were talking about, the one that claims to be Microsoft and different things, there's very ugly versions of that. Some of them
True.
Flash your screen red
oh, yeah.
and make the speakers put out a screeching noise. Well, that's not very professional, but it gets your attention.
Well, it's to generate fear and urgency.
Yes.
It's always preying on that. So the thing is, don't respond. You're never going to have somebody remotely access your computer from a personal standpoint that is uninvited.
Mm-hmm. So, and then some of those prevent you from shutting down the typical way.
Yeah.
There is no little red X in the upper right corner. Oh, so now what do?
Unplug the computer.
So what about if someone does hack your email or, like your Facebook account or, any, what do you do if you have been hacked? How do you back out of that, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, if you have been hacked, you might want to reach out to a local security or a local IT professional.
Okay.
So, there's many, I'll say, smaller IT computer shops that we have locally.
Uh-huh.
In Greenwood, there's one that's called Geek and Pink.
Uh-huh.
And people who have personal things, a lot of times I may recommend them to just reach out to them. They can give them some help. I would say, people may know somebody who's in the IT or security field, or things of that nature. They can reach out to them. Sometimes they're tinkerers,
mm-hmm.
So if you work with, if you recognize one of these local ones, they could be a good help for you.
Okay, we need to take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk more about cybersecurity and how to keep yourself safe.
Have you been married and have since divorced? Do you think your marital status prevents you from coming to church? Most Catholics and non-Catholics unfortunately have a lot of misconceptions about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Pope Francis has recently encouraged all people with questions about marriage to make an appointment and talk with their parish priest. As Catholic priests, we look forward to the opportunity to help you on your journey through life. Please make an appointment to speak with the priest today. We are and will always be here for you.
I'm Steve Alec of USA Football and parishioner at St. Maria Goretti Parish in Westfield. And I am blessed with a 35-minute commute to and from work every day. And I can't start my day unless it goes to 90.9 or dialing up the Catholic Radio Indy phone number on my cell phone and making that drive on 465. It is the spiritual vitamin that I need to get my mind focused on Christ, which impacts my entire life as a disciple of Jesus, as a husband, as a father, as a friend, as a co-worker. I can't say enough of what Catholic Radio has done for me, and the small but mighty team at Catholic Radio Indy is a group that I'm very grateful for. Thanks for all you do, and the whole team at Catholic Radio Indy. Appreciate all that you do.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, with access to great Catholic resources, including podcasts of all our local programming, podcasts that have been downloaded from all 50 states and over 40 countries on 6 continents. Yes, we are Catholic Radio Indy, but thanks to your support, we're taking the gospel of Christ to the ends of the earth. Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. We are talking about cybersecurity, and Jim Ganley is in the studio with me. And we were joking about passwords and how many passwords we have, but our guest today is Deacon Ron Peru, and he is a cybersecurity, I guess we're going to call you an expert, who's got a lot of background in this field. But we were talking about scams, and there's a scam now, some kind of cyber email phishing scam where it's a pastor requesting time by iTunes or, you know, something like that, or gift cards. Talk about that one that's kind of targeting parishes.
Yeah, that's one that's come up. And I first heard it, somebody contacted me from the Diocese of Lafayette, asked me if we were having any of these scams coming in.
Tell me what exactly it is again, because I think I read that a little weird.
Yeah, that's okay. These, what they're called phishing scams.
Okay.
And phishing is P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G.
Right.
They're trying to get your credentials.
Okay.
Whatever credentials to log into something, or they're trying to get your credit card information.
Okay.
So what has been happening is, say it's Bob Smith, Father Bob Smith is the pastor at St. Mary's in New Albany.
Okay.
So there will be a fake email address that will say Father Bob, New Albany, St. Mary's @gmail.com.
Okay.
So they create this fake email address.
Which looks legitimate. You know, you don't know what necessarily what the pastor's email is.
But the dead giveaway for the most part is Gmail or something like that.
Okay.
So most of them might have their own domain name because it might be St. Mary's NA for New Albany.org, just making that up.
Right.
But then they will send an email, and what will happen is someone will go to the parish website, and they'll try to scam and find all the emails that are available on the parish website.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll go to a bulletin or something of that nature. So,
because all that's public information.
Public,
you know?
Information. So that's a good idea not to publish those things on the website. But anyway, it's out there. They find that, and the perpetrator, the criminal, will send the email out, and will say, hey, this is Father Bob. I have a nephew that just loves to listen to music, and I'd like to buy some iTunes cards. But I'm too busy in the next couple of days. Can you please buy these cards by going to this website? And then I'll be able to, you know, download them and give them to my nephew. So people are falling prey to this. And what it is, it takes you to a site that's like a PayPal site.
Mm-hmm.
And you put in your credit card information, and you wind up just giving these cyber criminals money.
Mm.
And where this has even had some people where the pastor may encounter some people like after Mass, and they're walking up giving him iTunes cards because they said, well, you needed these for your nephew. And they're kind of scratching their head. Well, what are you talking about? And it's because these people have been scammed.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So what are some best practices, I guess, for individuals? And then let's talk about parishes, and this might be one and the same.
Right. Some best practices to help keep you your information updated and also to be secure is on all your devices, do the updates for Windows, for the Mac OS, for your Android or iPhone. Every time an update comes out, it's a security update and it's a feature update. So try to keep those updated. On your computers, there's a thing called antivirus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some sort of software that you should have. There's even a newer one called Endpoint Detection and Threat Response. And what that is more of a more advanced way of protecting your computer. So make sure those are both on your computer, and you always has your system updates for your computers, and you also have the updates for the antivirus. Another thing to protect people too, if they're connected to Wi-Fi, you know, just don't go into the McDonald's and start doing things on their Wi-Fi and banking transactions and things of that nature. You want to do it on a private Wi-Fi, or if you're on a public one, use what's called a virtual private connection, or VPN, because what that does, you connect to Wi-Fi, but when the VPN is up and running, it puts an encryption around all your data so it can't be read.
Okay, so how do you do that?
Well, the VPN...
Is there another way to click into that or something?
Yeah, VPN, virtual private network, is usually additional software that you have to purchase.
Okay.
So there's many companies out there that have VPN software for personal use.
So you're still using the Wi-Fi, but it just, the VPN additional software, it will protect and encrypt what you're doing while you're on that Wi-Fi.
Right, right.
And I've never heard of that. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do if you're on public Wi-Fi.
Now, what about changing, what about the length of passwords? Before we got started, you talked about there's a kind of a new trend in what your password should be or how it should be.
The new trend is more focused on length than using complex characters. In the past, it was 8 characters using uppercase, lowercase, numbers, and symbols.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you all use all those, it does make things difficult. But actually, the longer your password is, the longer it takes hackers to crack. So kind of a new standard is to have passwords at least 14 characters.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to use something that's like a passphrase.
Mm-hmm.
So a passphrase is something that's easy for you to remember. You don't have to have all the complex characters you might want to put in, exclamation point or a star or something, but you might pick your favorite Bible verse. You know, mm-hmm. maybe you have, like John 3:16 and a few words from the verse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your passphrase as an example.
Now, people should probably stay away from their birth date and things that are maybe public information about them, because I would think those would be easier to figure out or hack.
Right. And a lot of people have already been hacked. The birthday dates are publicly available, so stay away from your birth dates. Family members, and also don't put in like the year and the season, because that's a common thing. People will put like fall, 2019 in their password, and then they'll just change it every time they have to change passwords.
Well, let me ask you about when you're frequently, like I know with Google and other, like with Gmail and a lot of other things, you constantly have to update your passwords for security, but then that could be a way for people to get your, how do you know if it's really from that entity?
About updating your password?
Yes.
Will you get that,
you know,
notice
what I'm saying?
To update your password? Yeah, most of those things today.
I get them all the time.
You should really ignore those.
Okay.
When they come up.
Because okay.
Those are primary things to scam you to put in your user ID and password. To prevent that from happening, a major thing to do is to what's called multi-factor authentication.
Mm-hmm.
So, right now, like a lot of the banks have it, where you might have a user ID and password, but they'll have to text you a code back.
Right.
Or some of them use what's called like a secret phrase.
Mm-hmm.
So you may log in and then they'll say, what's your favorite color?
Mm-hmm.
What's your mother's maiden name?
Mm-hmm.
So the combination of those two usually will work. And when they use those two, there's usually less frequency of having to change passwords.
Ron, when you get a virus, just throw the computer away, or is there usually some way that people can salvage it? I mean, if you take it to a computer repair shop, can they normally save the computer and the data, or
they can't? You can do what's known as a system scan, and they can find the compromised files and remove them, and your computer's ready to use. Sometimes if it's very severe, there's a thing called ransomware that actually encrypts your computer and makes it unusable. Sometimes if you have that, you're done, and you might have to get rid of your computer. The one thing I always encourage people is frequent backups. So if you do get ransomware, and if your computer is encrypted, don't pay the ransom. Use your backups and restore.
Okay, I was going to ask you too. Most everything today refers to the cloud, and all of us think of white fluffy things in the sky, which isn't exactly what they're talking about. But how much danger is there in storing things on the cloud? Every program you deal with today wants to store your data on the cloud for you.
Yep, the cloud is probably way more secure than your own practices are. Because most of the things in the clouds, if they are professional services, if you're paying a subscription for them, you are getting multiple levels of redundancy and security. So the one thing is just make sure when you do these things that they are secure, read your terms and conditions and things of that nature before engaging in them. But that's just some food for thought on that.
I do have to ask you before we do a blessing about artificial intelligence, as in, hey, Siri and OK, Google. When do you turn those things off? Should you turn those things off? What are your thoughts?
My thought is...
Because it's listening all the time, right?
They are listening all the time, and they can pick up some things. I would have them on when you... You know, you think that you're going to be using them. So if you're going to have in the afternoon, you want to listen to some music, you might want to change things. But when you're, you know, done and you're having family conversations and you don't want that, you might want to turn them off.
Okay.
So just kind of use your best judgment there.
Well, I know you wanted to give us a blessing. Oh, there, you have one more thing?
You also had some contact information that you wanted to share.
Yeah. Do you want to give us your blog that you have?
Sure. If someone wanted to reach out to me, I have a blog. It's called Deacon Ron's Ramblings, all one word, .blogspot.com.
So Deacon Ron's Ramblings .blogspot.com, and we'll put that link with the podcast too when we put that up. So Deacon Ron, would you give us a blessing?
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you. In the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And let's pray the St. Michael prayer, right? Because you talked about how there's a lot of mischief out there in cyberland, and we can always use extra help from St. Michael, right?
Right. And let us pray. Saint Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Deacon Ron, thanks so much for being our guest today. We will see you out there in cyber world, right?
My pleasure being here. God bless.
God bless.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.